It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
He'll shoot and he hits it at the buzzer.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a beautiful Wednesday edition of Overtime, and your opportunity to win big looms today as we crank it open and get it ready to rumble on this Wednesday, April 24th. Welcome into Draft Day Eve, and we got quite the contest brewed up for you out there. In lieu of the Friday parlay on Friday, I've got a draft pool extravaganza, and just as the first round of the NFL draft has, I'll be taking 32 entries for the 32 picks in the first round. We're not going to pick each pick along the way, but I'm going to ask you to make a few predictions for draft night, draft day two, and the weekend of the NFL draft. If you're the best and the prettiest and the shiniest entry at the end of the weekend, you'll win the prize pack, which includes tickets to the Minnesota Twins, tickets to the upcoming Whiskey Myers concert, and so much more. It's a big prize pack in lieu of the Friday parlay, and we unveil that contest later on in hour number one. Welcome in again to the Wednesday edition of Overtime. On today's show, we'll be talking about the most dominant team in the NBA playoffs so far, in my opinion, the Minnesota Timberwolves. How about that last night? Another big win for them. A dominant fourth quarter. Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, the whole crew coming together for a big win and a 2-0 series lead. Now I want to say something as well. I'm not singing their praises because I think the series is over. It is far from over. They still got to go out to Phoenix, take care of some business out there, come back home. If they do not end up sweeping the Suns, I do think, though, that it's a big night and a big week for the Timberwolves and their fans because, as per usual that we've seen in the franchise's history, they have not taken care of business when they needed to in the postseason, and they did it last night, did it earlier in the week, and it's been fun to see this Minnesota Timberwolves team not only in Game 1 but Game 2 just plain and simply outplay the Phoenix Suns, a team that they were a underdog to, according to Vegas. Not so fast and not anymore. Timberwolves looking pretty darn dangerous, as are the other heavy hitters in the NBA postseason. We'll be talking with Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities about those Timberwolves, about the Minnesota Vikings. Maybe we'll dip our toe in and talk some Twins baseball as well. Back-to-back wins for Minnesota. Also deliver you with the goods on the identity crisis by the original Pancake House. That comes up at 11:30, and then we unveil that draft contest with the NFL latest, our final pair of draft previews at the end of hour number one. We're hitting on the Patriots and the Commanders today. Pick number three and pick number two. Both of those picks could also be on the move in the top five come tomorrow night at the NFL draft. We will preview the Patriots and Commanders needs, fits, wants, desires, and more coming up at the end of hour number one, and that is when I'll take my first callers for the long form draft contest. Not just draft night number one, but over the weekend. I'm going to ask you to make some weekend predictions in order to pilfer out and sort out the best entries and the smartest people in the Sioux Empire, all vying for Twins tickets, Whiskey Myers tickets, and more in lieu of the Friday parlay. That's the end of hour number one. Hour number two, headlines and highlights. Latest from the NBA, that draft contest continues in hour number two. Sam Amico, senior NBA writer with HoopsWire.com, will swing by to talk about the Timberwolves, talk about the Nuggets, the Celtics, the other teams that are living up to expectation in the postseason, and what teams are most ripe for an upset in round one still. And we'll talk about some odds moving forward, what a win in this series will do for Minnesota, and maybe, just maybe, do they have a chance to take down Denver in round two if that is indeed their opponent. The good, the bad, the ugly to follow, and that is your show log for this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Lot to get to on today's scorecard. We start, of course, in NHL hockey last night, pair of game twos, and it was the Rangers over the Capitals 4-3 to take a 2-0 commanding series lead there. It took overtime, but Florida up against a tough Tampa team. They take care of business 3-2 in overtime. Elsewhere, the Colorado Avalanche back on the right track.
McCarr for Cogliano. He'll tip it in wide of Hellebuck. Settles it down. Pressure coming from Yakov Trenin. Got it free. Cogliano in front. Parise is there. He scores! Easy! Breezy! Zach Parise!
KKSC, the audio on the call there. And again, that final score, Colorado 5, Winnipeg 2. And that series now knotted at a game apiece. Elsewhere, Nashville with an impressive road win last night, 4-1 in game 2 over Vancouver. That series also split at one game apiece. Tonight in the NHL, Bruins at Maple Leafs gets us going at 6 o'clock on ESPN. That series tied one game apiece. And a pair of game 2s tonight, Golden Knights at Stars. Vegas leads that 1-0. That's an 8:30 puck drop on ESPN. 9 o'clock start on TBS. Edmonton with a 1-0 lead as they play host to the Kings. And again, 9 o'clock start time on TBS. NBA Finals from last night, one place to start, and that's with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jaden McDaniels, awfully big night.
Up the right sideline, Conley hands it off to Edwards, goes out of a trap. Swing it all the way into the left corner. McDaniels for three. Boom, got that. That is it. Nighty-night, sweet prince.
Jaden McDaniels, 25 points, 8 rebounds to lead the Timberwolves, and obviously a big night for Minnesota. Here's how it sounded when it ended. Final score, 105-93.
Suns will inbound, and a three missed to the horn. The final, that target center. Minnesota Timberwolves, 105, the Phoenix Suns, 93. Phoenix is 0-14 in best-of-7 series, in which it's lost the first two games.
Jaden McDaniels, 25 points to lead the team. Here's the impact of McDaniels in the eyes of Coach Chris Finch.
The ball's moving. It really brings Jaden's game to life. The ball is moving right now. It has been for quite a while, and he's playing like, you know, as a result of that. He's kind of like always been the barometer of our offense. There's things that he can do, and, you know, at times we might need to put the ball in his hands a little bit more, but he's just making the right play off the ball all the time.
Final score, 105-93. Minnesota leads Phoenix 2-0 in that series as the series now shifts out to the desert. Elsewhere, Indiana proved me right. I was not buying Milwaukee even after an impressive win in game number 1. Pascal Siakam, 37 points, and Indiana boat races the Bucks last night on the road.
Here comes Nembhard. The Pacers running. Nesmith to the goal. Flips it off the right-hand glass. Negative. Rebound punched out to the perimeter. Halliburton for three. Left sideline. A 23-4 run on the road.
That three from Halliburton, but Pascal Siakam, the story. 37 points, 11 rebounds. Final score there. Indiana 125, Milwaukee 108. That series tied one game apiece. Also tied at 1-1 as Dallas gets a big win over LA in LA last night. Final score there, 96-93.
Luka, double team, then they back out of it. Now against Leonard, to his left, screen by Cleveland. Now against Zubac, sidestep left, take the three, make the three.
Luka Doncic, 32 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. Final score there, Dallas 96, LA 93. That series tied one apiece. Audio there courtesy of 97.1, the Freak down in Dallas. Tonight in the NBA, pair of game twos. Heat at Celtics gets going 6 o'clock on TNT, where Boston leads that series 1-0. OKC narrowly won game 1. The Pelicans visit the Thunder once again for game 2 tonight, 8:30 on TNT. Major League Baseball from yesterday, Houston and Chicago tussled from Wrigley Field, and it was a Cubby kind of day.
Here's the 2-0. He swings and hits one in the air, deep left field. Going back, Tucker at the track, near the wall. It's gone! A three-run home run the other way. Mike Tauchman, his first of the season.
And a big one there for the Cubs, 7-2 the final. Cubbies moved their record to 14-9. Other finals, Cleveland won over Boston yesterday 4-1. Guardians are 17-6. Milwaukee lost in Pittsburgh 2-1. Detroit wins in Tampa 4-2. Tigers move to 14-10. And the Minnesota Twins come from behind and earn a big win in dramatic fashion.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit to the right side. Base hit, Alex Kirilloff. Martin scores, and the Twins walk it off. Alex Kirilloff, RBI single, and the Twins win 6-5.
Chris Atterbury on the call there for the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. 6-5, the final. New record for the Twins, 9-13. Reliever Jay Jackson gets the win, his first of the season. He is now 1-1. Other finals, Kansas City over Toronto 3-2. Royals are 14-10. Arizona 14-1. Winners over St. Louis. When you have that many runs, at least one of those runs has to be associated with a big-time dinger, and it was a grand slam kind of night for the Diamondbacks.
First pitch belted deep to right field, and Newt Barr turns, looks, and see you later. Pavin Smith have a night. A three-run blast, and it is an absolute rout here in St. Louis as the Diamondbacks lead it 13-1.
14-1 the final, 10-14 the record now for the Cardinals. Other final, Colorado over San Diego, 7-4. Rockies boost their record, struggling record so far, to 6-18. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Diamondbacks at Cardinals gets going in about an hour, 12:15 the start time. Red Sox at Guardians, Brewers at Pirates, Tigers visit the Rays down in Tampa, and it's Game 3, White Sox at Twins, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 the first pitch time. Listen, as always, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. The 2024 NFL Draft starts tomorrow night. Feels great to say that. All sorts of storylines. And one team that's not Minnesota has been talked about, been linked to trading up from their spot in the first round. And it's a surprising team because they're already pretty high up on the draft board. It's the New York Giants. Here's Sal Palantonio.
I think they're trying to move up. It's clear, all indications are, that they are in a quarterback hunt. Staying at six, they probably are not going to get one. By Denver trading for Zach Wilson, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us Denver's in the weeds at the quarterback position for sure. That's number one. But it also tells us that Denver tried to go up, didn't have enough ammo to do it, and needed an insurance policy that either New England or Arizona was asking for too much. So maybe Minnesota's in the same boat at 11. They won't be able to get up, which means if anybody wants to dance, they may have to dance with the New York Giants. And the Giants may either go to 3 or 4 to get either McCarthy or Drake May. I believe that they are interested in either one of them.
Either one of them is right, and the Minnesota Vikings and their fans should be concerned because up until a week ago, there was not a whole lot of rumblings that the Giants would be interested in trading up. They've always been linked in that quarterback dance at number 6. Should they stick it out with Daniel Jones? They have to. Or should they draft somebody and work on them for the future with or without Daniel Jones in the fold? And now the Giants rumored to be moving up. Vikings fans should be a little concerned on that just because it adds another element of surprise and another team that is ahead of them in the first round of the draft with some ammunition maybe to get their preferred quarterback. We'll wait and see how it all shakes out. I still have the Vikings trading up, and I have the Giants trading up on Thursday night as well for the NFL draft. One of those juicy, dramatic, hey, maybe, just maybe this could happen scenarios for tomorrow night would be the Los Angeles Chargers, new head coach Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's quarterback in college, in which he had a ton of success and won a national title last year, J.J. McCarthy. Could it be possible that the Chargers at pick 5 could be interested in trading up or standing pat and taking J.J. McCarthy and moving off of Justin Herbert? Adam Schefter says, not so fast, my friend.
They're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. They are not drafting J.J. McCarthy. Now, could somebody trade into 5? To draft J.J. McCarthy, if that's the bet, yeah, that's possible, absolutely. But the Chargers have Justin Herbert. The new money in Justin Herbert's contract has not kicked in. They can't trade Justin Herbert. So they're not drafting J.J. McCarthy as the first pick to create a controversial situation in L.A. about who they should start as quarterback when they've drafted a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert and he's the guy.
That's one of those rumors that's gotten so deep and so out there that I've had several coworkers come up and ask me, what do you think about that Chargers news? Could they draft McCarthy and trade Justin Herbert? Could Justin Herbert be the next quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings? Could Herbert go to this team, that team, this other team? The reason that Jim Harbaugh took that job is because he was enamored with the possibility and the potential success of Justin Herbert. No matter who you talk to in the National Football League, Justin Herbert is a top 5, top 6 quarterback at worst right now in his career. He lost some weapons this offseason. The team's in a rebuild, but they're rebuilding around him. They're not going to bring in some rookie quarterback instead of him to try to go ahead and launch and hit the reset button on the entire franchise. Justin Herbert is the franchise. He's the reason why Harbaugh's there. He's the reason that they're picking where they are. He's the reason who they're picking where they are. I think they load up some weapons this year. I think they go after a tight end. I think they go after a receiver or two or three like they should. Some protection for Herbert. He's the franchise. He's not getting moved. And the Chargers will not take J.J. McCarthy come tomorrow night. One quarterback that has a very uncertain future is Dak Prescott down in Big D. Jerry Jones cracking open the mic. He's never met a mic he doesn't like. Here's what he had to say about the long-form nature, and I'm putting that nicely and in quotations, of the Dak contract extension discussions.
Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn upfield with it. Then he's still got a pitch left. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards play.
You want to see a few more cards play, and you're going to play yourself out of the hand, play yourself off the table because you got a top 10 quarterback, Jared Jones, and you're about to lose him to free agency if and when he has another good season for you, and if and when that good season is not a great season down in Dallas. The Cowboys are not loading up Dak Prescott's hand. They aren't putting any chips on his side of the table to give him the best chance to win, nor are they doing so for Mike McCarthy. And I don't understand a thing of what the Dallas Cowboys have done this offseason. They've got a good team. They've got a killer roster. They got 10, 12, 15 dudes that are absolute studs across the board, offense and defense on the Dallas Cowboys. You talk about talented rosters in the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys come up within the first three or four teams you talk about. But it hasn't led to postseason success, and Jerry Jones whining about it as always, and of course, not gonna invest any more this offseason in Dak Prescott. I think that is a mistake. Now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. Augustana hockey head coach Garrett Rabboin has been named once again to the 2025 USA World Junior staff, announced by USA Hockey as of Tuesday morning. This will be Rabboin's second consecutive IIHF World Juniors tournament. The bench boss helped lead Team USA to gold in 2024 when the tournament was held in Gothenburg, Sweden. And the entire 2024 gold medal staff is back for next season. Rabboin will join the U.S. National Junior Team coaching staff that is led by head coach David Carl and includes assistant coaches Brett Larson, Steve Miller, and David Lassonde, as well as a video coach in Travis Kalane. More on that at GoAugie.com. Speaking of Augustana, the 17th-rated Augie baseball team cannot lose, and they continue its home stretch with a doubleheader against Southwest Minnesota State today at Ronkin Field. First pitch in Game 1 is slated for 1:30 in the afternoon. Vikings in the series, 66-46 against SMSU, and are 38-16 at home. Southwest Minnesota State comes in 23-15 overall, 17-12 in the conference, and the Vikings 33-6, 24-4 in conference, and are playing some of their best baseball in recent memory. Vikings are 11th in the country with over 9 runs per game this season, 9.6 to be definitive about that number. South Dakota State makes a trek to the Twin Cities for a single game on the softball diamond as the Jackrabbits gear up to face Minnesota at Jane Sage Cowles Coliseum on Wednesday. First pitch between the Jacks and the Gophers is set for 5 p.m. South Dakota State originally slated to complete in a 3-game road trip, but they canceled the doubleheader against Wisconsin due to weather concerns yesterday. Back in action out in the Twin Cities area, 5 p.m. the start time for a single game against the Gophers. Lastly here, let's round out your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one with some news concerning the Iowa Hawkeyes. Indianapolis fans with a case of Caitlin Clark fever can catch 17 Indiana Fever games for free on local TV channels this season. The WNBA franchise struck a deal earlier this week with Tegna to broadcast those contests on the region's NBC and MeTV affiliates. This is an exhilarating moment for women's sports. The WNBA and Fever are leading the charge with this groundbreaking local broadcast rights agreement. And I gotta tell you, you wanna grow a league, you need star power. You wanna grow a league even more, you need some public, and I mean truly public, visibility. Think about the NFL and think about Major League Baseball. How easy is it on a Sunday to flip on a TV, whether you've got rabbit ears, an antenna on the wall, an antenna on the roof, you got a big fancy box, you got all sorts of stuff, Sunday ticket, whatever. The NFL is accessible. You don't always get to see your preferred game, but you always get to see a game and three games, in fact, on a Sunday, every single Sunday. The NFL is king because of its accessibility, its product, its stars. The WNBA is working towards that, and they're accessible, and they've got the star power. Major League Baseball has taken a step back over the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and look at the broadcasting lately for Major League Baseball in terms of visibility on the TV. Less than stellar for Major League Baseball, and I think the WNBA in for a treat, as are the Indiana Fever and their fans. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day here for hour number one. When we come back, Twin Cities Sports Scene Talk, Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities joins us next. It's the Wednesday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Appreciate you tuning us in as always right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. It is a monumental week for the Twin Cities. Minnesota Twins playing pretty well, back-to-back wins. You got the Vikings with a tremendously big decision in regards to not just the quarterback future, but the future of the franchise. And the Minnesota Timberwolves doing a good job of stealing some of the Vikings' thunder this week. Normally, you'd be like, hey, let's focus on Minnesota big-time draft week. But I know Twin Cities fans are very fired up to have their team in the postseason and winning in the postseason. 2-0 series lead against the Phoenix Suns. Darren Wolfson of KSTP and Score North contributor join us now on the ESPN hotline. I know he's a busy guy, but he's carved out some time for us on a Wednesday. Darren, take a breath. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bert. I appreciate you having me. Happy hump day. Let me also add a cool little storyline here in the Twin Cities, maybe even, you know, bigger than little. It's in the moment because I just got confirmation like 20 minutes ago, but Joe Alt, the offensive lineman, left tackle from Notre Dame, good bet. I think he goes 7 to Tennessee, but certainly he's going to go top 10 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
He'll become the first Twin Cities high school football player since Larry Fitzgerald Jr. 20 years ago to go top 10. Now, Frank Ragnow is an unreal center for the Detroit Lions, and he went like 18, 19. I had a chance to be in his living room for that draft night, but, you know, just getting confirmation in the last 20 minutes that I can be at Joe Walt's draft party tomorrow night, that will be really, really cool to capture that moment. Whenever he goes, whether it's 7, heck, he might even go 5 to the Chargers, but I don't think he falls below 10, the New York Jets. So add that to the list of cool things going on this week in the Twin Cities.
Oh, it's very cool, and I always rely on you for tidbits like that when it comes to the Twin Cities. Joe Alt, definitely somebody to root for. And if you're talking about players, not quarterbacks, but players overall, including quarterbacks, Joe Alt, among the top three best players, best prospects in this year's draft, depending, of course, on who you ask. Let's start with the Timberwolves, though. Last night, out and about, you got to see that in person. What do you make of the fact that they're winning, but the way that this team is winning through two games in the postseason?
I'm shocked, Bert. I mean, if you look at the three matchups in the regular season, the two worst defensive performances for the Wolves were that Sunday regular season finale, then the game in November in Phoenix. Their worst offensive performance of the season was earlier this month, a loss in Phoenix. So when you look at those three lopsided results in the regular season, I certainly did not foresee pretty much blowouts in the first two games. I mean, if you want to say, hey, a 12-point deficit, not much of a blowout. But the Wolves turned it up, plus 13 in the second half last night, just the way they thoroughly dominated Phoenix, especially in that third quarter. I thought it was domination, especially in game one. I mean, they dominated in every facet of the game. Not necessarily the case last night, but that was still a really, really smooth performance. I mean, we knew, Bert, that the Wolves could play high-level defense. We just weren't sure if they could play high-level defense against Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant. But you look at the Suns, they've yet to hit 100 points in these two games. They failed to score 100 points only 5 times all regular season. So to me, you know, the number one storyline so far through these first two games is just the high-level defense that the Wolves are playing. And to me, Bert, like with the physicality that's being allowed, we saw that it was a shift after the All-Star break. So like all of March into April, you know, there was a shift late in the regular season. A lot more is being let, you know, go and not as many whistles. The Wolves are as physical a team to me as there is in the Western Conference outside of perhaps Denver. So the Wolves' physicality is standing out through these first two games. The defense, and to me, both those things can travel on the road heading into game three on Friday.
And a ton to look forward to. Checking in with Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities, Score North contributor as well here on the Wednesday edition of Overtime. I don't want to overstate things because it's still a series. Nobody has won on the road yet. Minnesota's got a tough game three, game four ahead. I don't want to overstate things, but if this series goes the way of the Timberwolves and they get a matchup with presumably Denver in round two, what is the legacy shaping kind of deal there with Anthony Edwards in Minnesota and putting themselves on the map as saying, hey, we're here, we're a serious contender, we're a dang good team and a dang good franchise. What do you think is at stake over the next couple weeks for Timberwolves basketball?
Well, I mean, I think what's at stake is you look at their salary cap situation heading into the summer. Like, can they keep this core together? Well, you know what? There's a better chance to keep this core together if this team goes on a lengthy run. If you're Glenn Taylor, or if, you know, mediation works out in favor of Mark Lowry, Alex Rodriguez next week, don't foresee that happening. Or if the arbiter in July rules in their favor, then the NBA ultimately says, okay, Mark, Alex, you guys are the majority owners. Whoever is the majority owner or owners, like, you need to look at where the Wolves are this summer. And I just don't know if you lose in the first round or even in the second round, if it's sustainable. Like, do you really want to be a second apron team if you're not a conference finalist? Like, to me, you go all in. You're a second apron team. You pay the luxury tax if you're knocking on the door of a championship. So when you're asking me what's the legacy that's on the line, to me, it's this core being together. Like, if they lose to Denver in the second round, you perhaps then entertain more the thought of trading somebody like Karl Anthony Towns just to get under that second apron, or if you can get under the luxury tax. So to me, that's what's at stake, right? Like, this team feels like, hey, we are the number one defense. We showed that throughout the course of the regular season. We are good enough. Like, we didn't have, this is the Wolves talking, we didn't have a three-game losing streak all year. Like, we know. Like, we were the number one team in the West for 4 months. Heck, heading into that Sunday regular season finale, Bert, there was still a chance that the Wolves could be the number one seed. So they feel like, hey, for the duration of the season, we were the number one seed in the Western Conference. We are good enough to win a championship. So that's also the legacy that's on the line. You know, to be the best, you know, the old saying, you have to beat the best. So to me, if it is Wolves, Denver in the second round, if you beat Denver, to me, you're in the driver's seat to at least get to the finals to probably play the Boston Celtics.
Very well said, and I agree that you got to beat the best to be the best. And if I'm the Timberwolves, yeah, you can complain and whine about the matchup and you have to see Denver maybe a round too early. But if you beat that team and just welcome in the challenge and at least even have a really competitive series, could say a lot about the future of the Timberwolves. Game three, by the way, from Phoenix comes up on Friday night. It's a late one, 9:30 the start time. You can watch it on ESPN. And right now, Phoenix is a 4.5-point home favorite, according to ESPN Bet. Let's talk Vikings. It's an exciting time. How do you quantify this excitement with a little bit of apprehension this week? Because you want to take the swing, but you don't want to miss if you're a Viking fan on the quarterback, right?
Well, yeah, you're right, Bert. And, hey, you want to take the swing, but I think a lot of Vikings fans are like, don't give up next year's first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a decent chance, even if you hit on the quarterback, but let's say that quarterback doesn't play until November or December, or in the case of Drake May, like, you can make a case, Sam Darnold is this team's quarterback the entire season, that you would transition to Drake May sometime in 2025. So let's play this out. Okay, the future could be bright, but this particular year, the 2024 season, what if the Vikings go 6-11 or 7-10? Do you really want to give up a top 10 draft pick in the 2025 draft? So my sense from talking to a number of Vikings fans, whether it's on social media or out and about, is that apprehension. Okay, 23-11, like, can we get up to 4? Like, maybe throw in a third round pick, something like that, but let's maintain that 2025 first round pick. I still think in the end, Bert, one way or another, they are going to get up. I think in the end, if they have to put that 25 first round pick on the table, they'll do it. They're trying not to. Or if they can somehow keep 23, maybe you give up the 25 first round pick plus 11 plus something else, but you keep 23. I think that's what the Vikings are trying to figure out. constant dialogue with the Chargers at 5, the Cardinals at 4, the Patriots at 3. I think they've even checked in with the Washington Commanders at pick 2. So if I had to bet, I think with all these trade talks happening, in the end, the Vikings are going to find a way to move up. I just wish I knew, like, is Jaden Daniels for sure going 2? Is Drake May for sure going 3? Like, if the Vikings can't get up to 3, do they then just say, okay, we're happy with J.J. McCarthy? My sense is they like all of Daniels, May, McCarthy. I am buying the steam that of those 3, the preference is Drake May, but I think there are enough J.J. McCarthy fans in Eagan. So, like, to me, it'll depend on how the board shakes out tomorrow night. But I think in the end, the Vikings are going to find a way to move up.
Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities, Score North contributor, our guest here, Wednesday edition of Overtime, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Talk about the preference, the Drake May links with Josh McCown, and then you got J.J. McCarthy. A lot of people might like him in the building. If it were you and where you can go and what you can do and who you can pick, what is your best prediction for tomorrow night? I know it's not easy, but what's your preference? What's your prediction for the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, I mean, I'll defer to Kevin O'Connell. Like, I think this is as good a situation as any quarterback, you know, can join. So, like, I would bet on just about any of those guys. Now, if you want to make a case that Drake May's ceiling is higher than J.J. McCarthy, I can listen on that. If you want to make the case that J.J. McCarthy is more ready to play immediately compared to Drake May, I can also buy that, that there's enough mechanics that need to be fixed with Drake May, namely his footwork, right? But I think those things are fixable with Drake May. I don't know if I'm buying the Justin Herbert, Josh Allen comparisons with Drake May.
Yeah.
But heck, I've heard some people make those comparisons. So, I mean, I get it that the ceiling is really, really high on Drake May. So you could sell me on Drake May. To me, Bert, like, it's what I just laid out. Like, to me, you need to maintain your 25 first-round picks. I'm open-minded to moving 11 plus 23. I want them to keep that 2025 first-round pick because I don't think, when you look at the landscape of the NFC North, it's hard for me to make a case that the Vikings are going to be better than Detroit or Green Bay this year. And I still think at this point, Chicago is slightly better than the Vikings. So, you know, as you're stacking the North, okay, the Vikings are the fourth team of 4. So that to me screams like 6 or 7 wins. So that is a top 10, top 12 type pick. So I would be reluctant to give up a top 12 pick next year. But I also understand, hey, like, does anybody talk about what the Bills gave up to move up years ago for Josh Allen? Does anybody talk about what the Chiefs gave up years ago to move up for Patrick Mahomes Jr., right? So, like, I get it. Like, if you hit on this quarterback in a couple of years, we'll never talk about what they gave up to get that guy. But with the combination of Kevin O'Connell, you mentioned Josh McCown, just those two guys in particular, I'd feel really good if I were a Vikings fan that they will get this thing right.
It's an exciting week, that's for sure. The NFL draft tomorrow, coverage here on ESPN Radio, 6 o'clock in the evening. Friday, 5 o'clock, coverage for day 2 as well. Darren, you're the best, my friend. I hope that you find a little bit of rest. You can soak in the draft and the Timberwolves' continued gauntlet through the postseason. Thanks so much for the coverage. Thanks for all you do, and appreciate the time as always.
You got it, Bert. Can you convince my wife on that? When you say I'm the best.
You please, are the best.
Can I give you my wife's cell phone number? Can you call her real quick?
Hey, I'll shoot her a text, at least a text for your wife. I might give her a call, tell her, hey, he's the best, give him some time off, and maybe let him watch the draft all weekend. Is that good enough?
I like it. She's actually in Iowa. The older son's got a baseball tournament down in Des Moines again, 2 straight weekends of baseball down in central Iowa. So I went down last weekend. So unfortunately, I missed game 1 at Target Center, watched on TV, but
yeah,
wasn't able to be there. But we divvied up that trip. So the beauty is, I've got the younger son. He's got a little baseball practice on Saturday morning, but that's about it. So I'm pretty tied to the draft all weekend, which is fantastic.
As am I. Definitely adhere to the couch. Darren, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, sounds good, Bert. Take it easy.
All right. Darren Wolfson of KSTP out of the Twin Cities contributes on Score North. And if you watch Score North or Vikings territory with Dustin Baker, who's in tomorrow, you know there's all sorts of rumors and drama. And should we give up this to get that guy? Could we give up this to get this guy? Whatever your preference is, it's a very exciting time, not only to be a Timberwolves fan, but a Minnesota Vikings fan as well. And I'll co-sign something real quick. And I'm going to say it in two folds here. The Minnesota Vikings giving up pick 11, pick 23, and next year's first is not that much to get a quarterback of the future that you believe could transcend the game and be your franchise guy, because we've seen in the past when the Rams move up or when the Philadelphia Eagles move up or whoever moves into the top five to select their guy, whether or not they turn out or not, they're stepping up to the plate and they're taking a swing for the future of their franchise. And they've given up three first-round picks in back-to-back-to-back years. This year, next year, the year after that, maybe even more than that in certain cases. And I'll tell you this. The fact that it's three first-round picks, yes, it's a lot of money in terms of draft capital, but the fact that those three first-round picks are contained to just 2 years is a huge benefit to Minnesota if they give up those three picks. What I mean by that is that in 2026, the Minnesota Vikings should be completely clear of the cost of this trade this draft. Next year might be pretty slim, but if you got a promising young quarterback back there, or even the thought of a promising young quarterback, that is a huge win. And now secondly on that topic, as Darren Wolfson alluded to, if the Vikings can find a way to trade up and not give up next year's first round pick, that's a big win. Why is that? Minnesota gave up their next year's second round pick in the trade with Houston, so they already don't have a second next year. And if they keep their first, if you think about the way that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has operated since joining Minnesota, he likes to wheel and deal. He's a value-centered guy. And if Minnesota wins 5, 6, 7, or 8 games this year and they pick in the top 10, top 12 next year, they have that pick. The value of that pick is still top 10, top 12, whatever it might be. That's great. And it's a good premium pick. And if you're able to keep it, awesome. But more so than that value is the value of thinking in Kwesi terms of what can I get if I trade down in 2025? And if you don't have that pick, you don't even have that thought or that option. So for Kwesi, it's all about the value and the value of a potential trade down with next year's first overall pick. But as I said a moment ago, I think it's worth it to give up three first round picks to get into the top five, top four, top three if you get your number one guy that's available to you on your board. If you love Drake May and they take him at 3 in New England, don't move or limit the move. Don't give up the first round pick. But if you love J.J. McCarthy that much, step up to the plate, crank the bat back up on your shoulder, and swing for the fences. We'll take you to break now and come back with the identity crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House. Coming up soon is the beginning of our draft contest for over the weekend. No Friday parlay this weekend, people. The Friday parlay is the NFL draft contest. I only got 32 spots for the 32 picks in round number one. That's coming up at the end of hour number one. We take the break. Back with more of Overtime next.
Don't miss a moment of sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Appreciate you being with us as always. ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Wednesdays always reserved for the identity crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. Plans for your weekend probably revolving around the NBA postseason, the NHL postseason, maybe going out, hitting the links, and definitely going out and snacking on some pancakes with the Original Pancake House. Visit OPH in Sioux Falls at the corner of 41st and Kiwanis. Now it's time for the identity crisis. I give you 5 clues. You tell me who the heck I'm talking about. You win the gift card to OPH and more each and every week. Let's do it. It's time for this week's identity crisis.
I don't know. Who are you?
Me? I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's identity crisis on Overtime.
The identity crisis always brought to you by the fine folks and the smiling faces over at the Original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. Join the wait list on the way. Avoid the crowds on the busy days. The Original Pancake House, Sioux Falls. .com. Crispy thick bacon, huge omelets, and more, all served with a smile at OPH. Here are your clues. The identity crisis brought to you by OPH, a former NFL football player. Here are your clues. Number 25, jersey number, played running back in his NFL career. Clue number 3, went to USC, that is Southern California. Clue number four, played from 2006 to 2009 in the NFL. And lastly, played his entire career with the Tennessee Titans. This ain't an easy one today, but it's nothing off the beaten path. If you're a college football fan, a college football purist, you know exactly who I'm talking about today. It's a player with a tremendous college career, but he was second fiddle to somebody in the news today. You're on with Overtime. Caller number one, what's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan, what's today's correct answer?
Is it Wendell White?
It is Lendale White. It wasn't too hard for you, Jordan. Congratulations. I got you hooked up with some pancake bucks, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, Jordan, hang on hold. I'll grab your info from you. Lendale White, maybe not too hard today, but I absolutely loved the draft pick of the Tennessee Titans back in 2006. Lendale White, a second-round pick. And by the way, he didn't have a long career. Played for just 4 years in the NFL, but the dude did have 1,000 yards rushing 1 year and had a single-season 15-touchdown campaign in 2007. He had a short career, but it wasn't an absolute bust for Lendale White. But again, very short NFL career, USC star. He ran for over 3,000 yards in college and 52 touchdowns, but he shared the backfield with Reggie Bush, who got his Heisman back today. It is about time for that. That's a quick edition of the Identity Crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House. When we come back, you'll want to hit the phone lines again, 605-362-3776, the number to call. We're going to do a marathon and fill up part of our draft game board taking place at the Friday Parlay Friday over the weekend. We're going to fill up the draft board today and tomorrow on the show, looking to get 32 total entries on the board. You got to tell me what you think happens with the Vikings, with the Broncos, and a couple other specific predictions, and you could win big. I'm talking big like Twins tickets, big like Whiskey Myers tickets, and much, much more. That's coming up next, along with the latest from the NFL and our final two draft previews of the year with the Patriots and the Washington Commanders. Pick three, pick two coming up tomorrow night. Take the break. Back with more of Overtime after this.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's the Wednesday, April 24th edition of Overtime. Appreciate you being with us here on ESPN Sioux Falls. And now it is just about time for us to unveil our draft contest for the NFL draft over the weekend. This will take place at the Friday Parlay, always brought to you by Pausabilities and High-End Glass and Tobacco. But first, let's dish on some NFL news and also our final previews of draft season. Former Pro Bowl running back, former Minnesota Viking Dalvin Cook has settled a lawsuit in which his ex-girlfriend accused him of battery and false imprisonment in his Minnesota home back in November of 2020. A hearing scheduled for yesterday was canceled with the case closed and settled, according to court documents. Otherwise, the Chicago Bears. Other NFC North news, general manager Ryan Poles knows which player Chicago's going to take with the number one overall pick, but he's not ready to divulge particulars 2 days ahead of the NFL draft. Unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out, but I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. We know what we're going to do, but everyone is going to have to wait until Thursday to go there. The number one pick, which the Bears have earned from a trade from the Carolina Panthers last season, expected to be USC quarterback Caleb Williams. And lastly, we talked about this in hour number one. Jerry Jones said, if you got trouble with the timing is around here, it's not because I'm not ready to go. Jerry Jones talking about the timing on contract extensions for Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, or maybe, just maybe, if this year goes similarly to last, it's time to blow up that team in Dallas. Jerry Jones exercising and preaching patience with his fan base after they've been oh so close at 12-5 for 3 years in a row. Not a whole lot of playoff success to speak of, and an early exit this year in a loss to my Green Bay Packers. NFL draft previews and needs. Final two teams already. The New England Patriots pick third. Not likely to pick third, possibly. We'll see if they trade down. They have 8 total picks in the draft this year. 1 in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 2 sixth rounders and a seventh. I have trade down circled and underlined for the New England Patriots. Quarterback fits Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, maybe Jaden Daniels falls in their lap. At tackle is another need. Joe Alt could make a ton of sense at 3 or 5 or 6 or wherever they end up moving to. Joe Alt could be the guy for the New England Patriots. Cornerback is a huge need. They could have a pick with one of the two top cornerbacks, either Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo or Terrion Arnold of Alabama. Defensive tackle, wide receiver, wideouts are so precious in this year's draft. There are 4 or 5 guys that are absolute certifiable studs in round number 1, and there's 6 or 8 guys in round 2 and 3, and then the tail end of that class is pretty darn robust, but it goes all over the place from round 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. We'll wait and see. It's a deep class, but particularly top heavy for receiver this year. I think the Patriots will trade down. If not, it might be Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or Jaden Daniels at pick number 3. One of the teams that is very wealthy in terms of draft picks this year is the Washington Commanders. They have 9 total picks, but they've got picks all over the place. They've got 1 in the first, 2 seconds, 3 thirds, 2 fives, and a 7. They got 9 total picks. Quarterback fits, Jaden Daniels, I think, is the pick. Drake May could make sense. Edge rusher, they could have their pick of Chris Braswell, Chop Robinson. Maybe they go Dallas Turner in round 1 if they trade down. Wide receivers, they got plenty of picks. They have 5 picks on day 2 between round 2 and round 3. Tackle is an opportunity and a need for Washington as well. Maybe a second round guy, maybe a third rounder. And at cornerback, they've got some flexibility as well, as in cornerback on the defensive side that can go Chris Abrams Drain from Missouri in the second or third round. All sorts of value all over the board. And the Commanders, one of the wealthiest teams in terms of draft capital in the entire draft. Right now, they have 9 total picks, including a total of 6 on the first 2 days of the NFL draft. And they could be getting more if they move off from pick number 2 or somewhere else in the draft. The Commanders, pretty darn wealthy. Now is the time to get your calls in. If you want to be one of the first people on the board, 605-362-3776. We are not having a Friday parlay this week. In fact, we're replacing it with an NFL draft contest. And here's what I've cooked up. Very similar to what we did with the NFL season, with the NFL draft last year, and with a certain other sporting events in recent memory. I need your name from you. I need your prediction for the number of quarterbacks in round number 1, the second quarterback taken in this year's NFL draft, the first pick of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not going to tell you which pick it's going to be, or if they trade up or if they trade down, whatever. The first pick that Minnesota makes come tomorrow night, if they make one, who will that be? Denver, do they draft a quarterback? It's a simple yes or no. Do they draft a quarterback in any round of this year's NFL draft? And lastly, your tiebreaker, total wide receivers taken in the entirety of the NFL draft. With that, we do have our first caller on the line. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan, you're right back on with me, my friend. What do you think as far as number of quarterbacks in the first round? A lot of people will say 6. Are you going there, more or less?
Let's go less.
Less. So you're going to go with 5 quarterbacks then? Give me a number.
Let's go 4 quarterbacks.
4 quarterbacks in the first round. How about the second quarterback taken? Caleb Williams likely to be number 1. Are you going Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or somebody else?
Let's go Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. All right, I got Daniels penciled in for you, Jordan. Minnesota's first pick in the draft. A lot of people think they're trading up for a quarterback. Who are they taking?
Let's do J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. I got you there. Does Denver draft a quarterback in the entire NFL draft?
Yes.
Yes, they do. And lastly, total number of wide receivers taken in the entirety of the draft. What do you think, Jordan?
Oh, boy. Let's do 18.
18. I got you on there, Jordan. Appreciate the call. Back to line number 2 we go. Get your calls in now. 605-362-3776. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Jason.
Jason, appreciate it. Is it Jason T like Tom?
Yep.
Gotcha, Jason. Quarterbacks in round number 1. How many?
I'm going to go with 7.
7. Gotcha. Second quarterback taken. Williams likely to go number 1. You can put him there if you want, but who's the second quarterback taken tomorrow night?
I think it's going to be Daniels.
Daniels as well. Okay, Minnesota. What player do they take with their first pick? Could be a quarterback or could be somebody else.
I think they're going to try to get McCarthy.
McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy. Okay, Denver Broncos. Do they draft a quarterback in the entirety of the draft this year? Yes or no?
Well, they better, yes.
Yes, they will. Okay, and total number of wide receivers taken. Jordan put 18. What number would you like to say total receivers taken in the whole draft?
23.
Jason, I got your entry. Your entry could be next. 605-362-3776. I'll grab one more before we go to break again. 605-362-3776. You want in on the big contest. Minnesota Twins tickets up for grabs. Tickets to the upcoming Whiskey Myers concert and more. If you can be the best predictor of the NFL draft. I got Jordan and Jason already in. If you'd like to get in, the time is now. 605-362-3776. I'm going to try my best to get this all filled up before the start of the draft come Thursday. That number, I'm taking one more caller, and there you are. You're on the line with me now. What's your name?
Jared.
Jared, appreciate it. What's the first initial of your last name, Jared?
T.
T like Tom?
As in Pete.
P like Peter. Gotcha, Jared. Quarterbacks in round number 1. How many?
6.
6. Second quarterback taken. Who is it?
Daniels.
Daniels, got him. Minnesota's first pick, who they taking?
McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, the popular bet. Does Denver draft a quarterback this year, yes or no?
They better.
Okay, so that's a yes. And then tiebreaker, total receivers taken. Two guesses so far are 18 and 23. Pick a number for me.
21.
I got you on there. We do have one other caller. I'm going to get to you right now. You're on with Overtime as well. What's your name?
Shane,
what's the last initial for you, Shane?
H.
I got you. Quarterbacks in round number 1.
I'm going to go 5.
5. Got you. Second quarterback taken.
Daniels.
Daniels as well. Minnesota's first pick. Is it JJ? Is it Drake? Or is it somebody else?
It's going to be May. It's going to be Drake May.
It's going to be May. Denver drafting a quarterback, yes or no?
I hope so.
Yes, you do. And total receivers taken, 18, 23, 21. Pick a different number than those.
I'm going to go 25.
25. I got you on there. Congratulations, Jordan, Jason, Jared, and Shane. You're in the contest. You could be in the contest later as well. We will get to that later on in the show, but we're overtime on overtime. We're going to take a break, come back with much, much more. Your headlines and highlights, NBA talk with Sam Amico, senior NBA writer with Hoops Wire, and that draft contest continues. You want in? Give us a call later in the show when I call out that number, 605-362-3776. Take the break. Back with your headlines and highlights next on Overtime.